baby. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Emmanuel Lutheran in Waterloo, Illinois.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens. And let's not forget their sister congregation, Trinity, there in Darmstadt, Illinois. So you're covered in Southern Illinois. Either Matt or my churches, we're there to serve you.
Come on over.
That's right. We've got some good deals going on right now. yes, and this is Wrestling with the Basics, and we want to say again thank you to Pastor Tim Zekiel, who was on with us last week talking about the worm and the story of Jonah, and a nice summary of that story.
That's good. I think the worm needs a name, though.
I think so.
I was thinking, you know, because a few weeks back we had Donkey Max and Jack Aspirations,
right.
You know, who can forget that one? So we need to come up with something for the worm.
All right, so Tim, if you're listening, work on that. We want to know what the name of the worm is.
And two names that are out are Matt and John. So
<That's>
anything
right.
other than that, it's up for grabs.
Tim the worm?
Tim the worm.
That would be okay. And you know what? Your wife writes these kids' books for CPH. Maybe she could do like a children's version of the Jonah and the worm.
Oh, there you go. She can give him a name. There. As Tim was doing his script, his midrash, the one other thing that came to mind is have you seen the VeggieTales Jonah story?
No, I haven't.
So
you have to
check out the Veggie. If our listeners aren't familiar with VeggieTales, it's these animated cartoons with these talking vegetables, hence named VeggieTales. Bob the Tomato, Larry the Cucumber, and they do a Jonah one, and the worm is in that one.
Is the worm in that? Is he a vegetable, or is he just a worm?
He's just a worm, oddly enough. Everyone else is veggies.
Yep.
And he plays a more major role. He's with Jonah the whole time, which in Scripture, of course, it doesn't appear to be that way, but for the sake of VeggieTales, they work him in. He's a pretty major role in that piece.
You know, and of course, you know all about this because you've got two little kids, and the little kids love the VeggieTales. We actually had one of the former VeggieTales here in the studio and did a show with us, Johnny Rotten Apple.
Johnny Rotten.
Yeah. He was there back in the early days of the VeggieTales and then kind of got left out.
Is that right?
He didn't make the final cut.
I can't imagine why.
But we actually interviewed him at one point, Johnny Rotten Apple.
Making things up.
All right, so here's the scoop here. We're kind of back to our focus on Easter now, since this is the Easter season.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
That's right, no time for foolishness now. And one of the wonderful stories of the many that are recorded about Jesus after his resurrection is the story of his restoration of St. Peter. And if you don't mind, Matt, I'd kind of like to look through that and share people with it, because it's one of those stories, and I'm sure you've dealt with this story before, that you can't get in the English. It's just a shame. For the most part, the English Bibles will, obviously, that's the Word of God. It will create faith. I'm not saying you got to be able to read Greek, but there are some stories that without the Greek, you maybe miss some of the big points that are being made.
Yeah.
And this story is going on.
Yeah. I just preached on Thomas.
Did you?
That one point where Thomas says, "I won't believe unless I see his hands and his side, Jesus' hands and side." And when you dig into the Greek, it's a double negative there. So, I mean, it's more emphatic. It's, you know, "I will definitely not believe this until I see his hands inside." So I think you have a point. It gives it a kind of a nice, clear nuance as to what's happening there in those biblical accounts.
And see, I had not realized that, but there you go. Yeah, and even the bare statement is kind of impressive. "I will never believe." But if he says, "I will never, ever believe," that even makes it harsher. And, of course, you and I both attended a conference with a dear former professor of mine, Dr. David Scarra. He was talking about that same story and said that where it talks about touching, didn't he say something about that he actually wants to stick his fingers in it, like the spear was thrust, and that's what he says, "I want to stick my fingers into those wounds," which is, again, is very, very graphic, much more graphic than what you get in the English.
So, you bet.
Well, in fact, I bet you can probably tell the people. Well, let's read a few of the verses here, because you're probably aware of the English problem with this restoration of Peter. But let's just begin then. Why don't you start, Matt, if you would, at verse 15.
Sure. So we're in John.
Well, actually, if you don't mind, let's jump back and start with verse 9.
All right. So John 21, verse 9.
And the setting here is that the disciples had been out fishing, hadn't caught any fish, saw a stranger on the shore, didn't know who he was. He says, cast your nets on the other side. And they end up getting this miraculous catch of fish. And, of course, at this point, the disciples begin to realize this is just no stranger on the shore, but this is the resurrected Jesus. And so now they've come back to shore. They pulled the fish on shore. And this is where the story picks up at verse 9.
When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread.
And the reason I wanted you to start at verse 9, Matt, is where's the only other place in the Gospel of John that the term charcoal fire is used?
Oh, is it when Peter denies Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's warming himself by the fire.
Exactly. So John's setting the context that he's telling us this isn't really about a great catch of fish. It's about something that's happened just a few days ago.
Oh, yeah.
About Peter being at the charcoal fire, like you say, warming himself. And, of course, the little girl, which always tickled me, too. It's not a big, burly soldier, you know. It's a little girl that comes up and says, I think you're one of his disciples. And, of course, Peter denies this three times. He denies it. All right, enough of that. Let's go back then to verse 15. Just so you see, John's kind of set the background for us so we know what this story is about the restoration of Peter.
Very good. Verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs.
Okay, before we even get to the language problem here, it's kind of neat that John reminds us that everyone knew Simon as Simon Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And where did you get the name Peter from, Matt?
Well, Jesus.
Earlier
on with Peter's confession of faith. And
right, he gave him the nickname. Called him Peter. What's Peter mean, by the way?
Rock.
Rock. Awesome word. Awesome nickname. Yeah. Well, in fact, you know, the wrestler, The Rock. Who wouldn't want to have that?
Oh, yeah, that one guy. What's his real name? Dwayne?
Dwayne something. Something.
Dwayne The Rock.
Shows how much we follow the professional wrestling. But you will notice that when Jesus addresses him, he does not address him as Peter. John reminds us that was his nickname, Simon Peter, but rather Jesus addresses him how?
Simon and son of John.
Yeah, so now we get the full name, Yeah, this is your real name. You are Bar Jonas or whatever it would have been, the son of John. Now, back in your younger days, when your mom would call you by your full name, what did that mean, Matt?
That means you're in trouble. Watch out.
Do you do that with your kids?
Of course we do.
So the tradition.
That's half the fun of being a parent, is being able to do that.
So do it for us. Give us the full name for Noah.
Noah Matthew, get in here.
Okay, and for your daughter?
Anna Jane Clark.
Oh, for her, you would even add the Clark to
it. She usually needs the last name.
Okay. So the context here is that Peter's probably thinking I'm in trouble. And the thing you got to remember here is everybody's gathered here. It's not just Peter and Jesus. That's what he had hoped. If you read back through the story, you can see that Peter is constantly trying to find some opportunity to talk to Jesus privately and say, you know, Jesus, you told me I was going to deny you. I said I wouldn't, but well, yeah, I did, and I'm sorry. Or whatever he felt he needed to say to Jesus in private. But he never gets that opportunity. Somebody always shows up. John shows up. The rest of the disciples are here. And so Peter, I think, really believes this is it. My time has come. The confrontation has come. Simon, son of John. And then we have this whole business. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And, of course, Jesus says, yes, I love you. And why don't you tell the listeners about the difficulty of that? In the English, it sounds pretty straightforward, but what's the problem there in the Greek?
Well, why don't you fill the list?
I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're looking for.
Oh, well, the whole business that Jesus says, do you agape me? You know, he uses that big, profound word for love.
Agape for love.
Yeah. And then Peter responds, says, oh, I philos you.
Different word for love.
Different word
for very good.
Yeah, brotherly or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, I'm preaching on this weekend. That's why it's on my mind.
Sure.
I was reading some of the commentaries, and some of the commentaries said that it probably is not significant at all. They're basically synonyms. Probably in the days of Jesus, you could agape somebody, you could philos somebody. Usually, we're taught that agape is the God love.
Yeah.
And the philos is the brotherly love, the human love.
Sure.
But this particular commentator said, well, consider what it says elsewhere in John, that the Pharisees love the praise of the people. And you might think that was the lesser word, the philos word. But no, it's the agape word, too. And so they said probably it's you know, it's no big difference. It's just they use them interchangeably, synonymously, is what my wife, the grammarian, would say. But I got to thinking, no, I think maybe the commentator has a point. You can't say that agape is a godly love, but I do think agape is the word for a committed love. So yeah, if you ask the Pharisee what the most important thing in their life was, it's the praise of the people. That's what they lived for, is that people would praise and honor them. That was their agape. Yeah. That was the thing they were committed to. And so I think that still stands then, that agape is something different than philos. Agape is the love you give to your wife, right? Mm-hmm. You agape her because you're committed to her. Not like you and me. We love each other, don't we? But we're just buddies. We're just friends. Yeah.
We're just wrestling buddies.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. But we're not going to be married, no matter what the state decides. We're already married anyway, so it's really not an issue for us.
I'm off the market.
Holy cow.
But I thought when you understand that, it helps you understand what this interchange is all about. I'm going to get a little personal here. Is that all right? Do you mind?
I think you already have.
Well, now, your wife, Lisa, was that your first love?
Well, as far as a woman goes,
okay,
yeah,
all yeah, right. Sure. Well, what I'm saying, was she your girlfriend in high school then, or?
Well, she was in high school. I was in college. And,
okay,
you know, I mean, there was other girls that I dated and went out with and had fun with and different things. But I guess my real first love, yeah, Lisa.
Well, boy, and thank you for saying it that way. So, in terms of an agape thing, Lisa was the first one that you agape'd.
Yeah.
But there were other girlfriends, other people you went on dates.
Sure.
Did any of these other girls that you were dating, did they ever say, do you love me, Matt? Do you love me? Did they ever say that to you?
Well, not really. They didn't really pin me down like that.
Okay. But wouldn't that have been uncomfortable for you if they had said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, you could see in their eyes they're thinking, oh, yeah, let's get a ring on the finger and, you know, let's settle down and everything. And you, of course, is just a philos love.
Sure. Yeah,
you're friends
thinking,
with
you want to go get some ice cream?
Exactly. We're not talking about settling down here, but ice cream. But can you see, that's exactly what's going on in this text. So Jesus is actually saying, he's asking that question to Peter. Do you love me? Are you willing to commit your life to me, to make everything that you do be about me as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about Thomas, my God, my Lord.
Yeah,
Thomas
that
response. Says. So that's kind of an agape love statement. And what is Peter's response? His response is, I like you for a friend. Yeah,
probably not what Jesus was looking for.
Well, we're going to see exactly that isn't what he's looking for, but it kind of it just tickles me because basically Peter said, "Oh, come on, you know better. You know I'm your bud, Jesus. You don't have to worry about that." So then we go through the next set of verses.
All right, here we go. So we're in verse 16. Should we pick up there?
Yeah, thank you.
He asked him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me?
And there's that agape word, too, again. Yeah, are you willing to, I hate to say marry, because we don't want to get into that whole same-sex marriage
but committed
issue.
Committed to me.
But that's right. And by the way, you know, that is the image that the Bible uses, that he is the husband and we are the bride. That's the picture. So are you willing to make that kind of commitment to me?
Yeah.
And well, read what he responds.
He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
Well, yes, he says, yes, Lord. He answers yes, but again, guess what word he uses there?
That philos.
Philos.
That friendship kind of love.
Yeah, you know I'm your buddy. You know, come on, what are you asking me that for? Because, you know, which is probably what we would have said to the girlfriend, because we don't want to turn her off completely. But, you know I like you.
Yeah.
Now, here comes the big punchline in the third question. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. We forgot what Jesus said.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So Jesus responds and says, tend my sheep.
Yep.
And then verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me?
And guess what the word is this time, the third time? It's philos.
And Jesus makes a switch, huh?
Yeah. So really, Peter, are you really even my friend?
Yeah.
Can you say that? You know, you're probably right in not wanting to say you agape me because we've been there, done that, haven't we? That's what you said. I remember your words, Peter. You told me, I agape you. And how did you say that? Because I will go to prison or die for you. Mm-hmm. Now, that's agape love, see?
Yeah, to lay down your life.
And that's a commitment you made to your wife, didn't you?
You bet.
At that marriage vow.
Yeah.
Richer for poor, sickness or health, no matter what, I'm there till death do us part. That would be the end of it. But other than that, and so Peter said, that's the commitment I have to you. And then, of course, what did Peter end up doing?
Denying Jesus.
Yeah, three times.
Yeah.
And so I love this because now at the end, Jesus makes the twist. Okay, do you really even philos me? Can you even really honestly say that you would be my friend?
Yeah.
And the answer, of course, is, you look like you've got something to say.
Well, do you think Peter realized that he made the switch and that Jesus is getting at that, making that point? I wonder if Peter realized it, because in the next verse it says, Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time. And maybe he's also grieved a little because he's talking about this friendship kind of love now. He's kind of downgraded it even.
And you're absolutely right. In fact, read that full verse because that's so, so touching, that verse.
Sure. Again, verse 17, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me?
And it says specifically in John's Greek there, do you philos me? See, we right away jump to the fact that he's grieved the third time. Why?
Because he has to ask him three times.
Yeah, and he denied him three times. And okay, you've asked me three times. Yep. And so that connection's made there. But the connection I never made before, it's not just that. It's that the third time he said, do you philos me?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where it really strikes home. Because basically Peter was saying, oh, I'm all right. You know, I'm your friend. I love you, quote unquote. And Peter, Jesus is saying, really, Peter? Can you even really say that you have even that much commitment and relationship to me? And Peter's response is, I think he does, Matt. I think he does catch on the fact that he switches the word. And it's that combined with the three times that really...
So, boy, really cuts to the heart.
Yeah.
Those two things combined.
And you can see he's cut to the heart because his response is different on the third time. The first two times, he's rather flippant, actually, isn't he? Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course,
Jesus. Yeah, what are you talking about?
But read this third response then.
Yeah. So he's grieved because he said the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, that is Peter, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep.
Now here you go where I should have done a little more research. Gosh, I can't imagine how I missed this. I wonder what the word there is. You know that I love you. Do you think Peter shifts back to agape?
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Check it out.
Well, now we've got an assignment for next week. That'll be my assignment to follow it up. And I can't believe that I didn't research it that much further, because it is interesting. Does he say, you know that I philos you, or do you know that I agape you?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So we got something to look forward to next week. We'll see what that is. But obviously, this is a confession on Peter's part, isn't it? That there's no need pretending before you, Jesus. You know, I can sit here in front of the disciples and say, because don't you think that other disciples were kind of wondering, I wonder what Jesus is asking that for?
Yeah, what's going on? What is this conversation about? Why is he talking to him? Why these three times? Yeah.
And I think Peter's just kind of flippantly, oh, yeah, come on. Looking at the other disciples. Yeah. Oh, come on, Jesus. You know I love you. What are you doing? Come on. No, don't ask this in front of all these other guys. And at the end, it's just this beautiful confession. Yeah, you know it all. There's no hiding it from you, Lord.
Yeah.
But this is where this really struck home to me, because, see, I think that's what we want. We want to be friends with Jesus. If you would ask anybody in your parish, do they love Jesus, what would they say?
Of course.
Yeah,
you know I do, Pastor.
Exactly. But if it would come down to actually sacrificing, giving up everything we had for Jesus, that's another question. And I'm not so sure we are ready to... But being flippant about it doesn't help to do like Peter and say, oh, sure, I'd love you, Jesus. Ah, yeah, I'd go to prison and die for you. No, I think probably the better response would be to say, I don't know. In fact, you know, my memory is kind of, I'm an old guy, but I'm thinking you actually preached a sermon on this years ago when you were vicar at my congregation, wrestling with that issue. Would we be willing to give up our lives?
Yeah, and I think the answer is only by God's grace, only with his strength. Yes, with the help of God. That's usually our reply. And this kind of brings, you know, it makes me think of, and maybe it's because it's this time of year, of confirmation in particular.
Oh, my goodness.
At Emmanuel, I serve, our confirmation is always the last Sunday in April. So pretty soon here, our young people will be confirmed. We have a number of eighth graders. And one of the pledges they take is, we asked, are you willing to suffer all, even death? For the sake of Christ.
Yes.
You know, the same one that's speaking to Peter here. And the response is, yes, with the help of God. And with the help of God, yes. But without his help, no way. So we pray that, Lord, grant me the strength, grant me the faith to remain steadfast, to be connected to your word so that I can be strengthened and able to stand up for you if and when the time comes.
Did you feel the feathers rubbing on your head there? Well, no, seriously, I think that is so awesome, and honestly, if you don't believe in the working of the Holy Spirit, you should sit in here at the show with Matt and I, because you're absolutely right. That's a fantastic point, because that is the commitment that we make when these kids are confirmed, and it's really the commitment we all make when we join the church, whether we verbally say it or not. Yeah. And you're right, with the help of God, because no, none of us could promise that on our own. But with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be able to make sacrifices beyond what we ever dreamt.
Mm-hmm.
I think of my first wife and the sacrificial love that I had to provide for her, and yet never once thought of it as being sacrificial love. It just, I was agaped to her.
Yeah.
And it just was the most natural thing in the world to care for her and help her in her illness. So thank you, Matt. No, seriously, I could see the Spirit descending on your head there. You might want to wipe some of that
wipe
off.
Some
Maybe it wasn't the Spirit. Maybe it was that pigeon that got in here. But no, yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But what I appreciate what you said, Matt, is that's our response. Our response should not be, oh, yeah, that's exactly how I love you, the Lord Jesus. Because no, as we learned last week, we're a bunch of worms. Worms are not capable of that kind of love.
You bet.
They could barely get through the fill us love. But in the love of Jesus Christ, we might indeed, and in fact, we will. We will love, and we are loving people that way, far beyond whatever anything we could do by our own flesh. Well, anyway, those are the things I wanted to share with you. I always found that conversation, and the new thought for me was this idea that it's kind of like when the girl back in high school said, do you love me? And you're thinking, well, sure, I like
sure,
you, sweetheart.
Yeah, I like you well enough.
Let's go out for ice cream. I like Matt's response. Let's go out for ice cream. And just that we realize that won't work with Jesus. I'm sorry. That's not the love he's looking for. And the love he's looking for cannot come from us, but he will give us through his word and sacraments, like you said. Any closing thoughts, Sir Matt?
Yeah, I think it's just a lesson to be learned, and I think it's one that Peter maybe learns later on. I mean, at first when he says, I'm willing to lay down my life for you, Lord, I think he was counting on himself. He wasn't counting on...
No. On
God. But yeah, apart from God, you see what happens to Peter. He falls flat on his face, denying Christ three times.
And isn't it remarkable? Jesus comes back and says, tend my lambs, feed my
sheep. Yeah. So Peter, God still uses guys like Peter, and he still uses guys like you and me.
That's the remarkable thing. With all our frailties and weaknesses, we're still the people he called, and we're still the people he loves and forgives and forgives. All right, Matt, we will see you next week. I will go check that out and find out what the word love is.
Yeah, see what that love word is, and we'll continue our celebration of Easter.
Sounds good.